Welcome to the History of North America. I'm Mark Vinette. Fishing was vital to Iroquois subsistence and way of life. Let's learn more from the Iroquois History and Legends podcast.
Iroquois History and Legends. How they lived.
Five nations. Hunting, fishing, and agriculture.
Are you ready to go fishing?
Yes, I'm ready to go fishing in a whole bunch of efficient ways. They had some pretty advanced techniques to really pack in the fish. They had ways to catch thousands of pounds of fish. Some fish that even weighed up to 300 pounds apiece. We're talking about the sturgeon, but also salmon and trout, rainbow trout, and pike, and pickerel, and eels, and walleye. All these fish that they would catch. So they're fishing a lot like they're hunting. Could take large amounts of people, almost the whole village in certain situations. They had all sorts of different techniques. They did have hooks. They did have nets, spears.
Harpoons.
Fishing would be done year-round, but it was especially important in the spring. This is because large ocean and Great Lake fish would be traveling up the streams to spawn. Sturgeon and salmon and all the trouts swim up to spawn. Also, you have to remember, all these huge fish, they'd be basically unreachable. When they were off in the lake, you'd have your hook and you might be able to catch one salmon here and then. But the amount that they need, much like the deer, you got to get 120 deer in one swoop if you're going to make it worthwhile 300 people coming out and putting this much work in. You also have to remember that in the spring, this is when the deer are all starved for the winter. So it just doesn't make any sense to go out and start mass hunting them. So catching fish, if you can catch enough 50-pound fish, you can make up for deer. Also, fish are almost all meat. They would have fishing stations or hunting stations. Your hunting land could be 100 miles away from your village where you leave for several months. So they would have these fishing stations. And the best way that they had for fishing was what we in the Western world known as fishing weirs. There were two different types. If you look up fishing weir, a lot of the times you'll find Algonquian or even different tribes further to the south, these huge long palisades. The Iroquois tended to use stone. And what these were, pictured hunting the deer in the V-shaped palisades. They had the same concept, but in the water, where you would line stones if the water was relatively shallow where you could do it, and you're going to create this big funnel. Then at the end of the funnel, you could do two things. One was called a trap basket. Basically a long woven basket, a long stick, 6 to 10 feet long, that's a little wider on one end and goes down to a point where the water can run through. And you would put this right at the end of the fishing weir and catch the salmon and the other fish that came through. Another way you could do it is create basically a palisade box where you could stand up and just wait for all the fish to come get stuck in it and then just start harpooning them as they come in. And then harpoon them, put them up in a basket, take it to shore, and just do that all day long. At the falls of the river, where the water is shallow and the current is strong, the Indians used another kind of weir thus made. They made a dam of loose stones where there's plenty on hand, quite across the river, leaving one or two or more spaces or tunnels for the water to pass through, at the mouth of which they set a pot of reeds woven in the form of a cone, whose base is about 3 foot and perpendicular 10. Into which the swiftness of the current carries the fish and wedges them fast so they cannot possibly return. So they would literally make these V-like structures just like in deer hunting out of either rocks or palisade sticks inside the water and funnel all the fish to it. Another thing they could do is once they had this built, they could have people go upstream and start splashing around and walking down the river making noise to scare all the fish down. In which case they could just channel them in and spear them or get them into the trap baskets and take them out.
When you think of a harpoon, not only was it just like a stick with a point, they would carve it or put bone in it in such a way that it was like a tripodded claw with another one coming up the middle. And so you would harpoon it and then these three claws would reach in and hold it in place so that you could pull it up and it wouldn't slide or slip off. Now, Benjamin Franklin said that fish are like guests. They stink after 3 days. So you've got all these fish that you've caught. What the heck are you going to do with them?
Some of these fish are huge. The sturgeon migrating up, they would weigh 300 pounds. Picture a black bear. That's a fish the size of a black bear. So I don't think you're catching that in a little basket trap. That you're probably doing a spear with a line on it and pulling them into shore. But you have all this fish meat, which goes bad a lot faster than deer and other red meats. You don't have a fridge. They didn't use salt. So what do you do? What you do is you slice it up thin, and there were a couple ways to do it. If you had a nice bright sun on a hot day, you could dry them out on bark drying racks, or you could smoke them. And a lot of times they'd have a smoker house where you could put all these trays next to it and slowly smoke them and dry them. And then you could store this meat for long periods of time.
Right, fish jerky?
The men tended to do most of the fishing, but the women would come along because once the fish are caught, this was something they both did. It wasn't the men are like, okay, I'll catch the fish and then you can gut them and dry them. This was something that they would all do together, and it would be a lot of work. They started doing this in the spring, and basically right in the time when the fish would start spawning and they would be catching them, they would be depleting their whitetail from the winter before. So this would work as their protein replacement for the red meat up until the following deer season.
You've stored your vegetables from the winter, but you're probably out of your fresh vegetables. You're just dealing with corn and some dried beans now. There's probably not a lot of other stuff left. So this is a necessary thing.
An Ontario Lake fishing station was excavated recently, and it was found that the fish gathered were basically spring and summer spawning species. And this really coincides with what we already said about them hunting the deer in the fall because they're at their fattest. It's spring now, so there's no point in getting the whole tribe together to go out and hunt deer. So now they're getting the whole tribe together and they're going up to the river and they're mass hunting salmon and run-of-the-mill eels and these other fish. Now, the fish, they'd be dried and processed on racks and smoked, but what they could also do is boil them and let the oil rise off the boiled fish and skim them and store them in gourds just like you would like nut oil, and you'd save that omega fish oil for your cooking and for other things. They had other ways of fishing, too, besides fish weirs. They also had nets, and they did have hooks, and they had harpoons for just spearing, and they had hemp nets. How long have they had the technology to weave this hemp and make nets? Hemp net fragments were found in Ontario, and they were carbon dated from 6th century BC. So they've been doing this a long time. And like I said with the fish weirs, they've found old posts, and they've come across these ancient fish weirs from 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago. They've had this technology a long time. So they would weave these hemp nets, and we're not talking butterfly net. Making a little net like that to catch fish, they would make some pretty big nets. And these were all made by hand. So you kind of picture 30 women all making these nets together, and it really would take the whole village to chip in and make these things because it was just a ton of work. If you threw a huge long net in the river, it would just kind of ball up and go away. So what they would do is they could string gourds to the top of them or like pieces of wood that would float, and then they would notch pebbles around and tie them to the bottom of the net. And this is actually the most found artifact. People all the time to this day still walking up streams throughout New York and Western New York especially, you come across these strange rocks that are notched around almost like a waist in the middle of them. And they would do that and they'd put them on these nets. Here's an observation from the Huron using nets in the winter. It says that, I think it was Champlain, he noticed that they put these nets on long poles in the winter up on Lake Ontario. And then these nets would be 10 feet long and 10 feet wide. They'd stick them down and then they would move the net underneath the ice to another spot and then pull it up and get the fish all underneath the ice.
Now, what about nighttime fishing?
Fish, just like today, they're attracted to bright, shiny things, so they had a technique where they could go out with their torch in their birch bark canoe and stick it out of the boat, and then all the fish would come up to it, mesmerized by the light, and then you could harpoon them.
They knew the tricks and tools of the trade to survive.
They would make hooks out of bird bone, normally. There were certain bones in the bird that were like V-shaped, so it'd be very easy to just sharpen a point on them and cut a little barb so that you've got a nice, easy, strong hook. You wouldn't want to use stone. It cracks too easily. Bone is flexible but yet firm, so bone worked very well for making fish hooks. Also, excavators have found copper hooks.
Copper, like metal.
Yes, like metal. There were some people that knew how to work copper even back then. They were finding it in northern Michigan.
There was natural veins of soft copper.
Yes, soft copper. And they would find it in the creeks and on the stream beds. And they learned how to work it by hammering it with rocks to the point where you'd have shiny copper and you could ply it into different tools. They also used it for trinkets because it would be really shiny when it was fresh and newly made.
Check out the YouTube version of this episode, which has accompanying images. I'm Mark Vinette. and I hope you're enjoying the ride. Doctors endorse it, nutritionists recommend it, and customers love it. Calotrin Healthy Weight Loss. Ron in Texas lost 35 pounds. Marie in Pennsylvania lost 117 pounds with Calotrin. Diane not only lost weight, but she also found relief from arthritis. Lynn lost over 45 pounds. Calotrin contains collagen, the most abundant protein naturally occurring in the human body, which decreases as we age. Taking Calotrin promotes better sleep, more energy, less joint pain, and best of all, weight loss. Calotrin has an amazing 86% success rate with their 90-day supply. And this week, take advantage of their President's Day sale. Buy the 90-day supply and get an extra month free, plus free shipping. Ordering is so easy. Just text the word HISTORY to the code 30605, and we'll send you a link to this special offer. Again, text HISTORY, that's HISTORY, using the code 30605.